So I've been a Christian for many years and been upfront just about that whole time. I came to the Lord when I was quite young, and we had no worship team at that point. So I learned guitar to be the worship team with a buddy of mine. And so I mean, I've been upfront, and I don't have a problem, you know, standing up front and talking to people and this sort of thing. And I took a role as a supervisor at work a year ago, and so every morning I stand in front of my crew, and we talk safety, and then we hand out the work, and then we talk about what's going on, you know, and we share ideas, and it's a good venue for kind of personal growth, you know, in the trades. And but these guys, I've been with them for 17 years, and so they're not nice to me. They don't mind picking on me at all, eh? And I most of the time, you know, as a person, I soak it up. But when you're the supervisor, you really have to soak it up, because if you can wobble the job pretty simple. So this one time especially, they were really nailing me, and it started to go in deeper, and I could feel it, aggressively against my spirit. And by the time the meeting was over — it's only a 15 minute meeting — by the time it was over, I was destroyed. And I went and hid in my office upstairs, and I got to go from this meeting, I got to go to a level 2 manager's meeting and give the state of the union to them, eh, and let them know what's going on with the equipment. And I just can't, you know. I'm so rattled that I didn't know what I was going to do. I was like, Lord, I cannot face another crowd, you know, after that. And I asked him, I said, Lord, can I just bottle this up and deal with this later? Because I got things I have to do. And of course that didn't happen. And so I'm in my office, doors closed, I'm by myself, and you know, the guys are doing their jobs. And so I pulled out my Bible and the fresh Bible study from the church here, and I cracked it open. I hadn't even looked at it yet. I cracked it open, and the opening of the Bible study is talking about accounting a joy through trials. And I went from absolutely devastated, not sure if I should just go home, to within 10 minutes, I was full of joy. I was ready for whatever happened in 10 minutes, and I hit the floor running. I went back out on the floor and you know, chatting up the guys and making sure everything goes smooth, and you know, my job. I was unable to do my job, to completely empowered to do my job in 10 minutes. You know, from devastated to full of joy in 10 minutes. And so, to just as an encouragement, you know, when you get to that point where you're not sure what you can do next, go to the Word. You know, the Lord is waiting. He wants to talk to you. And go to the Word and let Him minister to your heart. Thank you.
Well, for you that don't know me, I'm not used to doing this. I just recently went on a hunt trip, and I never experienced so much spiritual attack from Satan as evil spirits. Anyway, I went into a lake called Tagus Lake, and to get to that lake, you have to go to Atlin Lake, launch the boat at Atlin Lake, and you take the Atlin River. It's about six kilometers long. It's not a very long river, but it flows into Tagus Lake downhill. It's like it flows into the lake downhill. And anyway, I never experienced day in and day out. I was there for about 8 days. One attack after another. Equipment failing, stuff like that. I figured I'd take every safety measure that I could. I even had a satellite phone with me so I could contact my wife and kids. And the battery went dead prematurely. Anyway, coming. Leaving Tigris Lake to come home. It started off okay. We got into the lake and hit a wicked storm. And so I tried to get over closer to the shore where the waves were the least. And I managed to, get into calmer waters. And then the storm subsided. And so I figured, well, I better take the precaution of making sure I had enough fuel to get all the way to Atlin. So I have two tanks on the boat. And the only way you can access the other tank is that you have to lift the engine cover. You have to go to the back of the boat. And, to access the switch for the other tank. And so I made sure I had enough gas to get back to Atlin. I still had to go about, I would say, 20 kilometers. And that would have got me back to Atlin. Well, to go back, it's basically you have to go uphill. The river, like I said, it flows into Tagus Lake, so I'm going back against the current. And that river is probably about 20 feet deep in the center, and there's some massive boulders in there that probably come to 15 feet high. There's no problem when you're under control. You can navigate that river pretty good. And so anyway, I got just about to the top of the river and just about ready to enter Atlin Lake. The boat, the engine just quit. And I, we're in big trouble because the current is pretty strong. And the boat is completely out of control. Because it's flown backwards with the current. And there's, I can't see what's going on. I'm trying to turn the boat around by paddling with an oar. And I managed to do it a couple times. And I realized every time I managed to straighten out and steer the boat, it would turn around, spin around on me. And I realized, well, I was praying to God aloud, "You're in control, God. This boat is yours. This hunting trip is yours." And anyway, I could not see behind me because I had my canopy on the boat where you couldn't really see out the back window because the window was all sprayed from the jet. And so I couldn't see where I was going to. I was thinking, well, we're going to crash up on the rocks and probably drown because that river is so cold, it's glacier-fed lake, that if you fall into the river, you only got a certain amount of time to get out. We had our life jackets on and all that. Like I said, I took every safety precaution I could. And I seen the terror in my brother's eyes. I realized that I can't help him. I can't even help myself. Uh, Anyway, we seemed to miss every rock and boulder in that river. God was definitely in control. We got that just about back into Taggers Lake, and the boat was going backwards, and I seen these trees were getting close to shore. And I think, oh no, they're gonna wipe out the canopy. And they just brushed on the top of the canopy and everything was okay. And there was one big boulder. We just scratched the side of the boat. No damage done. We made it back into the lake and we paddled like crazy to get to shore. And I managed to, once I got in shore, I went to the back and switched to the other fuel tank. And I thought, oh, I got to navigate this river all over again, but at least God, preserved our lives. And I got into Allen. We made it back into Allen Lake. And again, it was pretty good water. And, all of a sudden we got hit by another storm. And again, I could see my terror in my brother's eyes. And like we were hitting the waves and they were just banging the boat. And I did the same thing. I headed for the closest shore as fast as I could. And got out of that into calmer waters again. And we made it back to the boat launch in the island. And then it was just one thing after another, trying to get the boat out of the water onto the boat trailer. The waves were pushing in. It's just like I felt like Satan wasn't going to give up. And anyway, and next thing was getting the boat on the trailer, and I finally did. And then I had a flat tire on the trailer, and I thought, well, I can either get angry, or I just took it as one problem after another. But I really truly believe that it was an attack from Satan. And I can only thank God that he spared our lives.
Just in, as we come down to the last part, I'm going to ask Carmen, I guess Bob's not here, if Carmen would come and share with us. I've asked her to kind of just explain some of the things that went on a month ago now. So if you would come and share with us.
As Kenny mentioned, when you're up here every week, you do adjust to some degree being up here. But this morning, I would have to say my heart is probably beating harder and faster than I think it ever has. I want to start by telling all of you that I love you, the brethren. You, as we've all seen testimony of how we minister to one another and encourage each other. And to me, that is valuable. Many times, of course, each of us prays for another. And at times, my heart breaks for you, the brethren, the body, as a mother does for her children. My heart for you is deep, and there are times I question, God, why does my heart feel this way? Or why is there anguish? Or where does this joy from as I reflect on the brethren? And this morning I would like to share a little bit of what God has been doing, and then the things that kind of led up to my being led specifically to then share the morning of communion, that kind of all the incidents and everything kind of came from. So about 2 to 3 months ago, I was praying that I would recognize God's voice more clearly, and that I wouldn't be confused by my own thoughts or the enemy trying to put thoughts in my mind. I wanted and desperately wanted to hear clearly what God was saying. John 10:1-5 was definitely very much on my heart. I tell you the solemn truth, the one who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens the door for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own sheep out, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. They will never follow a stranger, but will run away from him, because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. And I was asking the Lord, help me to recognize your voice. For the last couple of years at our shop prayer meetings on Monday night, we often pray that God would bring revival in our body and specifically in our own hearts. And about 2 months ago, as we were praying this, as I was seeking the Lord, he said, are you willing to let revival start in you? Well, of course, God, absolutely. I know it has to start here. And the Lord said, no, you're missing this. Carmen, are you willing to let revival start in you? And I knew that God meant something deeper, something significant that I had no idea of. And like a young child doesn't always understand the imploring of a parent for maybe safety or whatever, I did not understand. But I did surrender and say, God, you do your will in me. So the week prior, leading up to communion, that particular Sunday, the Lord had been impressing upon my heart Revelation chapter 2, and I was wrestling with it. Lord, why this verse? And it says, do not be afraid of the things you are about to suffer. Please don't read too much into this. There's only one specific part that the Lord was ministering. So anyways, the devil is about to have some of you thrown into prison so you may be tested. So you may be tested. And you will experience suffering for 10 days. Remain faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown that is life itself. And I went, God, is there testing? By the second and third day, as this, every time I was in the scriptures, this verse kept coming out of nowhere. And I'm like, Lord, am I going to be tested? If that is the case, help me to stand firm and pass the test, as it were. Help me to stand. So that leading up to the morning of the service, as I was sitting and the elements, the cup and the bread were being handed out, I had been asking, well, I had for several weeks actually prior, just been asking God to help me recognize what it is truly like to be forgiven. Because oftentimes, especially when you've been a Christian a long time, you've got sin or you deal with it, but that incredible innermost knowing, I am forgiven. What an amazing thing. And I had been asking God, show me this. And as I said, the bread and the cup were being handed out that morning, the Lord said, I would like for you to be my messenger. I have something you, I would like you to say. And I said, now? Really? No. And the Lord said, oh, remember, you said you were my servant. Yes. Okay. And so as I wrestled with that, I said, okay, Lord, what message? And he said, the message is, your sins are forgiven. God loves you. Oh, sounds kind of simple. But then the Lord filled me with that innermost knowing that I was forgiven. something I can't say I have ever experienced. And it wasn't a feeling, wasn't an emotional high or anything like that. It was an innermost knowing in the innermost part of my being what it was like to be forgiven. And God said, this is the message I have for someone here. And I understand, I told the Lord. And so feeling that I needed to be in keeping with scripture, and Bob was going to be here, and he's working. So praise the Lord, there's work. Yeah, many of you know we've been praying about that. I said, you know, I feel that God wants me to speak. And already God had been preparing Bob. We were at the soundboard where we often sit, and for reasons he ended up moving, you know, someone else was doing sound, and he put his stuff down in the pew, and where we usually sit was kind of full. So he was sitting somewhere else. And he says, I felt very uncomfortable. I felt like I needed to move. And he says, you know, when I sit in front of people, because I'm taller, usually I feel I'm kind of telling his side of the story, which I have to since he's not here, but he says, you know, I kind of feel uncomfortable. I'm a little bit tall and people can't see past me. But he went, no, I wasn't that kind of uncomfortable. He said, I felt I needed to move. And well, what about if I offend people, like these thoughts that were going through his mind? And the Lord says, no, you're not going to offend anybody, but you need to move. So he finally did. He's like, okay, well, where do I sit? Like, what does it really matter where I sit? And so we found a place, and he's like, yep, this feels right. Okay, let's just sit here. I don't know why. I'll explain in a minute. So anyways, I did. I turned to Bob and I says, you know, I really feel led to speak. Do I have your permission to speak? And he looked at me and he looked me in the eye and he said, yes, if you feel it, the Lord wants you to say something, then you need to say it. And I looked past him, and across the aisle was our brother, Pastor Rob. And I hesitate in saying some of this. I know some maybe have differences of opinion of the order of authority and all of that in the church, but my husband is my head. I feel very strongly that to do stuff apart from his acknowledgement and support is truly to leave that. And as I looked past him, I saw Pastor Rob, and in my heart I thought, oh, I should ask him as the pastor, as the head pastor, if I can speak. And the Lord said, he is not your head. Your husband is your head. I went, oh. He says, no, stand up and speak. So I did. And you are, those of you who were here knew that I was asked to sit, which I did. And then as I was holding the bread and the cup, I felt very strongly that I should leave. Not out of anger, like leave the room. I wasn't angry. I really want to stress. I wasn't offended. There was never that I can recognize as I search the Lord still now, a part of me that this, excuse me, was me that wanted to do this. Therefore, there was no reason to be hurt or offended. But I did feel strongly the Lord asked me to leave the room. There are reasons, which I am not going to do right now, but so I stood to leave. Now, I do have noisy shoes. I think they might have been these ones. They may have even, and I've heard from a sister in the Lord who was honest. I appreciate that honesty to say it sounded like you were angry. It was kind of clomp, 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 and the door closed. And I can certainly understand how it could be perceived that way. I very much want you to know that I was not offended, wasn't angry, and I wasn't hurt. I didn't mean to leave the impression that I was leaving in a huff. So please don't misunderstand that. So just double check my notes. So I was asked after the service by the elders, what scriptures do you have to support this message that you brought? And certainly the message of forgiveness had been many, but that morning specifically, I had been reading in the Psalms and the joy of being forgiven. As I left, I asked the Lord, so what do I do now? I'm standing out here all alone, feeling a little lost and confused. And like our sister Debbie shared, you know, sometimes we do things and then we're going, God, I don't understand. And the Lord said, just go stand on the back balcony. So I did, and he and I were talking and communing, and a brother in the Lord came out very quickly right after the service. And he says, it really, the Lord impressed upon my heart that I needed to come. And wasn't so much to see how I am, which is totally fine, but what was the message? He was very specific and adamant. He needed to hear what that message was. And it turns out later that he was to be the envoy of the message to the sister that that was meant for. Now, before I go on, I'll explain as I went home. Well, actually, no, from that point, when I was alone, I was asking the Lord, so why did you do this? And I believe very clearly the Lord said this was a test. Now, I completely forgotten Revelation 2:10 and the concept that for the previous 5 days, I've been asking God, help me to stand the test. Totally left my mind until later that afternoon. And I was, so then I'm at home and I'm reading the word and I'm going, Lord, where is your will in this? Was I out of line? That is my heart's desire to be in the center of God's will. And so I spent hours just the Lord and I in prayer and in the word. My kids were out of town with my parents and Bob had kind of gone his way to do the same, spend time alone with the Lord. And into the evening, a sister in the Lord called and she said, I'd like to share with you what happened during the service today for me. I feel it's important you know. And she said that she had spent the entire service wrestling in prayer. She could hardly sing, or maybe didn't sing, was my understanding, because she was grieved over a sin that she had been dealing with and wanting to know, was she forgiven? Had she completely dealt with this sin? And so she said it was through the whole service. And then she was holding the bread in the cup and she was beseeching the Lord, have I dealt with this? Is it right for me to take the bread and the cup? I would love to know if I am forgiven. And the Lord gave her, of course, the word that she knows. You know, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just. He'll forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So by faith, she took communion. But she didn't have that inner peace. And she said, I found out through that brother in the Lord who needed to know that message. He ended up being the envoy. And she said, I am overjoyed that you have affirmed, I believe this was from the Lord, you have affirmed I was forgiven. Now, not just that, but throughout the afternoon, because it was with regards to a situation to another person, God was testing her all throughout the afternoon. Had she dealt with this? Had she forgiven them? Had she worked it all through? And she said, I got to the end of the evening with victory and joy, knowing I had worked this through, I had forgiven and I was forgiven. But she says, I really want you to know that I think that message was for me. And had I known what you were saying, what you were meant to say in that moment, the incredible blessing and joy that it would have brought me. And so I felt that I, not for my sake, but for your sake, that you would get to hear the rest of the story. This sister had asked that I do share it on her behalf. It was not my intent to interrupt the service or be a distraction. I know that there has been concern of that. And then there are those who felt it was the perfect opportunity. What you all determine in your heart from this is really between you and the Lord. But I really want you all to know that it wasn't an impulsive thing and it wasn't a spur of the moment. This was something that God has been doing for 2 years already. As Bob and I have prayed for revival in the body, as we have prayed for our elders, that there would be unity among our elders, not having a clue whether or not there was disunity, but that God had called us to that. And then in the several weeks prior to my standing up to speak, it was a continual preparation of my own heart to bring the message that he wanted. And as simple as it is, your sins are forgiven. God loves you. That is the foundation of why we meet. And so, I guess from my perspective, that is the rest of the story. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Carmen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. We're going to...